You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to the inaugural edition of the ILTA podcast, What Went Wrong? Here, safe in the safe confines of the podcast and long removed from the origin stories we'll look back on, we'll discuss with ILTA members, partners, and colleagues pinnacle moments in their careers that all started with something that went wrong. These moments of error, terror, embarrassment, or simple accidents can be the crux of our careers. Often we hear that the mistakes are what make us learn the most. And this is certainly true in IT, in technology, and in our daily lives. During this podcast series, we will find out what should have happened, what actually happened, why and how it went wrong, and then we'll dive into lessons learned. Knowing that hard work often breeds success, we will want to know what went wrong, moments that challenge the courses of a career, an idea, or a life. My name is Bethann Stubbe, and on behalf of ILTA, I would like to welcome Michelle Gosmeyer. She's the Global Director, Information Governance, Risk and Compliance for Dentons, and is based out of Chicago. She is a valued and longtime ILTA member, currently serving on the ILTA Legal Sec Steering Committee, the ILTA Talent Council, and Women Who Lead as the co-chair. She has previously served on the ILTA Board of Directors as President, Vice President, as a peer group liaison, and was twice the ILTA Conference co-chair. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, Beth. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I wanted to start off by saying that as our inaugural guest, I think we can already safely assume that your assorted what went wrong moments and sage advice will be the benchmarks by which all other ILTA oops moments will be judged. This is our litmus.
That is quite the bar to set.
Well, this is our litmus test. If it doesn't work out, we'll never do this one again. But to begin, do you believe that a career or a life, a project even, can be markedly changed for the better because something accidentally went wrong?
Absolutely. I think much of the word wrong is more about opportunity and how to make it right. So I think that kind of cheesy saying, you know, making lemonade out of lemons is very, very much a true statement and something that I think it's also very much about attitude. I've got a lot of people in my life that absolutely inspire me by getting back up after some very, very difficult challenges and just staying positive. And to me, positive is so much what it's all about. It's certainly not easy to be positive all the time. And sometimes I think some people get, if somebody's too perky, they're kind of like, oh, there they go again with their positive, perky stuff. And I just want to talk about the bad part of it. So I think it's absolutely a balance. You can't always be overly positive and not realistic. But I think that the positive opportunity that comes out of something that went wrong is absolutely can be life-changing and career-changing.
When someone says the word failure, our culture frequently thinks it as only a bad thing. But how do you view the word failure?
Failure for me is very much about opportunity. You know, again, there's many great sayings about, you know, people who've coined much wiser than I am, about, you know, our greatest successes come from failures and all of those kind of cliches. But a very wise colleague actually several years ago said something to me at a time that seemed like a significant career failure for me. And he had said that at the end of this, it will be one of the most valuable experiences you have ever had. At the time, there's no way I could comprehend what he said. I thought he was crazy. But he was absolutely right. And coming out on the other side of a difficult challenge in a career can be so incredibly inspiring and career building and give you an opportunity to pay that forward. I literally just came back from lunch with a colleague that just lost their job and was able to give them a lot of helpful advice that I have worked with many colleagues over the last couple of years on how to come out of the other side of that much more positive and with great opportunities. So failure for me definitely has a lot of positive connotations to it.
That's incredible to hear because I think most people think of failure and then that's it for them. There's nothing else after that. So it's good to hear that you're able to kind of help course correct for people as well. And you've been in legal IT for 20 plus years. People change, technology changes. Things change so rapidly that you've seen implemented and even probably helped implement that must have been, frankly, abject failures on so many levels. How do those instances shape the way you view technology or new product implementations?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. As I think about it, you know, you're absolutely right. Over the years that I've been involved in technology, there have certainly, you know, been countless failures and, you know, things we thought would roll out well and didn't work. But it's interesting because not many of them stick in my mind as specific examples. I think I've been very fortunate that most of the teams that I've worked on in the various places that I've worked have focused much more on kind of lessons learned and improving going forward. So really taking those failure opportunities and making something much better out of them. I guess, again, it kind of cornerly ties back into the lemonade out of the lemons, but that experience is really what stands out for me so much more than the failures. It's that ability for the team to come together, figure out what the problem is or where the challenge is, and make it better. And that is just, it's such a great forming of teams, a great way to collaborate with colleagues and build trust and build confidence in your user community with people you work with. So the recovery of those is far more what stands out in my mind than any of the failures.
The title of this podcast is What Went Wrong? And I imagine that most people are thinking to themselves, all right, this went wrong in my career and I was able to course correct here. Can you give us a really great example of something that over the last decade or so in your career, can you touch on an oops moment? If you would, please tell me what went wrong.
Yeah, I guess in thinking about this, it goes much further back than the last decade. I really consider it one of the most valuable lessons I've ever learned in my life. It's something that I refer back to quite a bit, whether it's in my own experiences, talking to others, mentoring, supervising. I was in a situation with my very first job. I was very, very young, and I did something that put a colleague in a difficult situation. And it was something that made me very uncomfortable. I was very sorry that I did it. And fortunately, that colleague was a good colleague and handled it very well and coached me through it to help us kind of both see where the challenge was and come out of it a lot better on the other side. And it really has stuck with me forever and made me realize the value of kind of treating everyone with respect and always thinking about the action you are about to take and how it impacts other people and being kind of thoughtful and methodical. And we don't always have a lot of time to think things through, but it's something that's super important that, you know, trying to make sure that I don't ever do anything that is going to put somebody else in a difficult situation or make something difficult for somebody, and just realizing how uncomfortable that can be for you, for the colleague. So really for me, it's very much about mutual respect and finding that value with your colleagues and working together and just being honest and open if there's a challenge or something that comes your way and just talking through it and figuring out how to get to the other side of it and as collaboratively as possible.
That self-cognizance is a really long path to take for me, for our listeners, for anyone learning to put other people first and how our impact on their careers is a real thing. That's very heady of you. And I know that you do an incredible amount with ILTA for volunteerism, for mentorism, for women who lead. What would you tell someone you're mentoring about failure and how to learn from it?
I think that, again, it ties back to thinking about it, talking to colleagues and trusted mentors about that failure. You know, I think a lot of times we have a tendency to not want to talk about failure, to be ashamed of failure, to just kind of, you know, hope it will go away. And I think for me, the best way to get through that is to talk to trusted colleagues and think it through, work it through. Talking is a key part of that, but for me, even more so is listening and just getting that great advice from people that have either dealt with it or particularly see it from a different view. Because I think that oftentimes is what happens is, you know, if you're in a difficult situation or one that has had some kind of failure impact, a lot of times it has to do with the fact that you haven't seen it right or you've had a different view than others have. So really trying to keep your mind as open as possible and talk to people and surround yourself with people that help you do that. Keep your mind open, think about things carefully, build that trust, and work through the failure scenarios as openly as you possibly can.
You've been very candid about your oops moment and how it affected someone else. Do you think that in a typical day-to-day career that other people are as cognizant of their failures and how other people are viewing them?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think some certainly are. I think some are even more in tune to it than I am. And I think others don't focus on it. And I think that's when I've had some of my most challenging career moments, when we approach that type of thing very differently. And one of the things that I've kind of struggled with and I've really been thinking about a lot over the last couple of weeks and months is that balance of how you articulate your failure and when it's appropriate to kind of call it out versus not to dwell on it. You know, so just giving kind of a more of a silly, tangible example, but, you know, like, let's just say that somebody had an email message and they were supposed to get something done for somebody and they dropped the ball on it. And then something comes up with the rest of the group where something wasn't done. And I have a tendency, if I'm the person that dropped the ball or missed it right away, I'll say, oh my gosh, you know, that's my bad. I missed it. Here's what happened. Or, you know, here's what I'm going to do to make sure we cover it. Whereas I've been in situations and other times where people will kind of sweep that under the rug, not highlight the fact that it was their bad and make the team look like the whole group dropped the ball or that something wasn't done properly and it gives the team a bad name. So again, you don't always want to highlight those types of things in all those scenarios, and not everybody needs to, you know, air all the dirty laundry or hear all the details, but where do you have that balance? I think of kind of credibility building is really more what it is. If it's, you know, if it was something that I goofed up on, I want to make sure people know it was my bad and the rest of the team doesn't take the hit for that. But I think from a management supervisory style, that's also very different for me too. I'm very quick to kind of highlight when I've dropped the ball in something, but it's super important for me as the manager or supervisor that if it's somebody on our team, the team takes the hit for it. You know, we don't ever want to highlight this one individual person did something wrong. It's, you know, we missed it as a team and we're going to work on it to correct it. So it's a balance, but it's something I think about a lot.
Looking back over, you know, your career, do you think that failure affects women differently than men?
I think the answer to that is definitely it depends. And it's funny because there's several colleagues in our ILTA arena that I'm working with and delivering a roundtable next week around women who lead and women leadership. And this is a topic we've talked quite a bit about in preparation for that session. So I think one of the conclusions that we've come to, again, depends. So there's never a, you know, all or nothing answer, but that very much often women are harder on themselves, especially in the workplace, as far as the expectations that they set and how they kind of deal with those expectations. So I have a tendency to think that women deal with failure differently, but I think it's very much an individual, and maybe even a cultural thing too, not just individual women, but the culture and the workplace that you work in and how failure is dealt with and how the culture deals with men versus women.
Is there anything that you would suggest for our listeners, for ILTA members or business partners, or, you know, kind of technology professionals in general, about those what went wrong moments? Is there any major takeaway that you've been able to apply to your career?
I think we touched on most of it. Again, I think it's that open, honest ability to face your failures and understand the best ways to recover from them and what you can do to make them better in the future. Find and make sure you build a trusted network of colleagues that you can bounce ideas and thoughts off of when you get into those situations where you're not sure how to deal with something. You know, when you're in the middle of those challenges is not when you want to be trying to build that network to find trusted colleagues. It's a group that you want to kind of be able to call on when you're in those most difficult moments, knowing, you know, person A, I can always pick up the phone and walk through and talk about the failure that I've just experienced or the struggle that I'm dealing with and get that good advice. And for me, the best and most trusted colleagues are the ones that will be open and honest with you and tell you those difficult messages that you might not otherwise want to hear. But to me, that is one of the hardest colleagues and mentors to find, is somebody that will absolutely tell you those difficult things that are hard to hear. You know, where you've made a mistake, where you need to adjust something to either be perceived differently or to handle something differently. I've gotten some of my most valued information from like three or four people that I can think of that will just be very open and honest and tell me things like that. It's not always easy to hear, but my current boss always says his theme is definitely feedback is a gift. And, you know, that's a true statement, that if somebody is truly willing to give you honest, open feedback, that is the most valuable gift we can get.
How do you motivate yourself after a failure?
Motivate myself after a failure. I think, again, it kind of ties back into the excitement of the opportunity to come together with your colleagues and your team and figure out how to make it better. Again, it gives you those great opportunities to have difficult conversations with people and make sure, you know, it's not a finger pointing exercise. It's not a, you did this wrong or this team failed at this, but it's much more of a, okay, if we could do it over again, or we could do something differently, or how do we fix this in the future? Those are some really exciting, great meetings and conversations to have. And I think all too often we don't get an opportunity to do that. I mean, we absolutely have a culture, at least here in the firm that I'm at, where most of our large projects, we have lessons learned meetings to, you know, kind of figure out and walk through what we've learned and what we can do. But sometimes, you know, you're so quick to move on to the next project, you don't have a lot of time to do that, or you're not able to focus on it as best you can. We've really tried to cultivate an environment to say those meetings are super, super important. We need them to learn from each other and from our experiences, and that we also need to come to those meetings very honestly, because if we all sit in a room and just talk about the great stuff and don't ever really get into the heart of the issue of what went wrong or where the challenge was, then it makes it really hard for us to correct it going forward. And sometimes you'll see that, you know, if you kind of repeat that same error a couple times, you finally realize, okay, we've got to talk about this. We have to get through it, or we're just going to keep struggling.
You've been very open and honest with our listeners about bouncing back from failure, taking other people's feelings into account. And I'm sure ILTA listeners join me in saying, thank you for your advice. Do you have any last words for us? Anyone struggling in their career or early in their career that you would have liked to hear?
Well, I swear that you did not ask me to do an ILTA commercial as part of this answer, but ILTA is absolutely the most amazing place to help deal with failures and challenges. There are so many colleagues in the space that are part of my trusted mentor and leader circle that I have relied on for challenges in the past. So if you are in an environment where you feel that you have that, that's great. Build that trust network within your team. Or if you don't have that network, if you're in a small team, you're in a new firm, you don't have a lot of people you can talk to, use the ILTA network for that. There's so many trusted colleagues. I'm sure almost anybody that you talk to in the ILTA arena is more than happy to jump in, help share their failures, share their successes, and help talk through and bounce off things that you may need assistance with.
Thank you, Michelle, for joining us. This was episode 1 of What Went Wrong.
Thanks, Bethann. It was great to be on.
This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.